Okay, we're starting a new sermon series this morning called Rooted in God's Love, The Path to Wholeness. And it's based on this book called Rooted in God's Love, The Path to Wholeness. And it's a series of biblical meditations, very short chapters with some prayers and some scripture readings in each short chapter. It's by a couple called Dale and Juanita Ryan. And here are some of the topics that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. First of all, today I'm going to be talking about receiving God's invitation. And then next week, knowing God's promises. God's help in the tough times. Seeing ourselves in new ways. Living within limits. And then the final talk will be on experiencing change. So I hope that whets your appetite a little bit for the next few Sundays. But this morning, I'm going to be talking about receiving God's invitation. And if there's one thing that I would like you to remember and take away from this talk, even if you forget the rest of it, and you probably will, I want you to remember this. God is an invitation-giving God. And to be invited is to belong, to be of value, and to be wanted. I'm just going to repeat that because I really would like us to remember it. God is an invitation-giving God. And to be invited is to belong, to be of value, and to be wanted. And I love getting invitations. I love personalised invitations which have my name written on them. Dear Sally, we're having a party or barbecue or whatever, and we'd love it if you could come. And God issues a personalised invitation to us. So he'll say, dear Peter, dear Anne, dear Lizzie, I'm having a party. At the end of time, in eternity, I'm having a party, and I'd love it if you could come. Signed, God. And you can put your own name. I don't know everybody's name here. I'm looking around. There's quite a few people I don't know. But you can put your own name on that invitation and know that God signs it. God wants us to be with him in heaven, everlasting life, peace, joy, love, happiness, celebration, hope, the works. That's what God is inviting us to do. Because we belong, we are of value, and he wants us. Now, I could sit down at this point and say that's the sermon, but I'm not going to. I want to delve a little bit more into what this invitation is like, and specifically what this invitation is to. And the first thing that I want to say is that it's a respectful invitation. Some of you will have seen this painting before. It's called The Light of the World. It's by a painter called Holman Hunt. If you go to St. Paul's Cathedral, you can see it for yourself, hanging there. It's one of those paintings where you look at it, and wherever you're standing, the eyes of Jesus are on you. It's like they kind of follow you around. It's quite a vivid, imaginative painting. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says this, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." Now that invitation, that word, was spoken to a church in Laodicea. And Laodicea, the church there, was very complacent, probably because they were a very rich church. And God is saying, even though you have a lot of material possessions, you have a lot of security in your life, you still need me, and I am being patient, and I'm being persistent, and I'm going to keep on knocking. But it's a respectful invitation. He is not into breaking and entering. And if you look closely, I don't know whether you can see it on this picture because it's a bit dark, but if you look at the picture more closely, there's no door handle on this door that Jesus is knocking on. So he cannot get in. If that door is going to open, the person on the other side of that door has to do the opening. It's their responsibility to say, yes, I hear you knocking, and you are welcome to come in. Because Jesus is not going to barge in on our lives. He is a gentleman, the perfect gentleman. Opening that door is our responsibility. And sometimes some of us have had people barge in to our lives in a rather disrespectful way. And we've been maybe abused or humiliated or upset in some way. And because of that, we put the barriers up, or we bolt the door, we lock the door and say, I don't want anyone to come in, because if I let anyone else in, I'm going to get really hurt. But God is saying, you can trust me. I'm going to be respectful, and I'm only going to come in if you want me to come in, if you welcome me in. So that's the first thing. It's a respectful invitation. And I'd like us to pray. And throughout this talk, I'm going to use some of the prayers in this book to invite you to pray. So please join with me to pray at this point. Lord, thank you for knocking. Thank you for respecting my boundaries. And thank you for knocking persistently. It takes me a while to respond because my doors have so many latches. But give me courage this day to open the doors of my life to you. Amen. Secondly, the invitation. It's an invitation to delight our souls. In Isaiah 55, it says this, come, all you who are thirsty, cute picture. Thought you'd like that one. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Now, it may not look like it to look at me, but I am a real foodie. I love my food. And last night, is she here? Yes, she's here. Last night, I went to a friend's house for a meal. And I'll admit, when I got there, I was really hungry. I thought, I can't wait for this yummy meal. And I got there, and we got this meal, and it was indeed yummy. And there was loads of it, absolutely loads of food. And I went away, and I felt satisfied, I felt full and well-fed. And you know, you have that feeling, you go, I've eaten so much, I'm just not going to eat for another week. And it was kind of like that. But we know, because we know our bodies, that we are going to need more food. We're going to need food probably the next morning, because that's the way our bodies work. The food, however yummy it may be and however much of it we have, we're going to need more. And the food that we get from God is not like that kind of food. It's not something where we're fed by God and then it disappears in the next few hours and we end up needing more. Our food, our spiritual nourishment from God, the benefits are eternal. They go on and they fill us. And they satisfy us because God is not a mean or stingy God. He's a lavish, generous, giving God. And his gift is free. The nourishment that we get from God is free through forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. We gain eternal life. It's not like a normal meal where you go to a restaurant and then you have a lovely meal and then you get that bill at the end. And sometimes it's quite a pricey bill and you know that you have to pay for the food that you've just had. Or if you go to someone's house, you know that they've spent money at the supermarket buying the food that's in front of you on your plate. God's gift is not like that. We don't have to pay to receive eternal life. It doesn't cost us anything. It costs God everything because he gives us his son, Jesus Christ. His son, Jesus Christ, died for us. It cost Jesus his whole life, but it doesn't cost us anything. And his food will delight our souls. Sometimes we think, it's kind of bizarre, isn't it? That we think God is going to give us something we don't actually want. The one thing that we're really hoping God won't give us, and we're thinking, bet he's going to want to give me that. He's going to ask me to do something that I really don't want to do. God's not like that. God wants us to delight in the richest of fare. And we do that through eagerly receiving his gift of eternal life. And this passage says you've got to come, you've got to listen, you've got to seek God, and you've got to call on God. That's how you receive God's richest fare. So it's an invitation to delight our souls. So let's pray again together about that. God, I am thirsty. I have spent my money and energy on things that have not satisfied, and my soul is hungry. I need food for my soul. Help me to come to you, Lord. You know my hesitation. Help me to come as an eager child to receive good things from you. Feed my soul, Lord, until it is full of delight. Amen. The invitation is also an invitation to forgiveness. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. In those Bible times, red or crimson was a clothing dye. It was a deep and permanent dye. It was virtually impossible to remove. If you spilt it, it would cause an indelible stain. And sometimes we think our sin is like that, particularly if there's a recurring sin in our lives. And for each one of us, sometimes there's just that one thing that we keep falling prey to. And we think, this is never going to go away. It's just indelible. It's always going to be there. But God is saying, if you're willing, I can remove that stain of sin. I can wash you clean and you can be like snow. And so often, when we've done something wrong, we sometimes deny it. And we say it hasn't happened, or that it's not quite as bad as people make out. Sometimes we blame other people and say, you know, so-and-so made me do it. It wasn't my fault. Or sometimes we end up really loathing ourselves and criticizing ourselves. And God wants to say to all those mechanisms, if you like, no, no, no. I want you to come to me, admit your sin, and I promise you, however deep or indelible that sin may seem, I will forgive you, and you will be whiter than snow, whiter than white. So it's an invitation to forgiveness. I want to invite us to pray again, and I want you to lay before God anything, any sin that is on your heart or mind. Just bring it to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I want to claim this forgiveness that you so long to give me. So let's just spend a few moments doing that, because God longs to forgive us and make us as white as snow. Lord, will you free us from denial? Will you free us from blaming other people? Will you please free us from self-loathing, self-resentment? Help us to face the truth of who we are. Help us to accept your offer of forgiveness and change. And please, Father, make us as clean and pure as the snow. Amen. And lastly, God's invitation is an invitation to remember. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 24 says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Jesus transformed the Passover meal. We know, don't we, that the Passover was a festival that was celebrated and to commemorate the fact that God's people were delivered from slavery. You know the story where Pharaoh was in charge of the land and Moses went and said, God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh kept refusing and refusing. And eventually God sent the plagues and Pharaoh caved in and the people left. And then Pharaoh changed his mind and sent his army after the people. They got to the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea so that God's people were able to safely pass through. And that's what Passover was about, commemorating God delivering people, his people from slavery. And Jesus is saying, a new thing is going to happen. On that cross, I'm going to give my body and my blood. And it will be a delivery from slavery. But it will be a new delivery from slavery. It's a delivery from slavery to sin. And it's an important thing and a vital thing. It's something that can transform you. And so I want you to remember what I did for you. I don't want you to forget the great sacrifice that I'm making for you. So when you share this bread and when you drink this wine, I want you to remember that it represents my body and my blood. Now, there are different views of Holy Communion in the Christian Church. Some Christians, particularly in the Roman Catholic Church or the Anglo-Catholic Church, see Jesus as being literally present in the bread and wine, that somehow the bread and wine mystically changes into Jesus. Other Christians believe that Jesus is spiritually present in bread and wine, and that as we receive bread and wine through faith, although it remains bread and wine, something spiritual happens. There's a meeting with Jesus at that point. And other Christians believe that it's simply bread and wine. It's a symbol of what Jesus has done for us, and it's just an aid to help us remember. But whatever your view is, I hope that we can all agree that remembering Jesus, remembering what he did for us in that way, is important. It's vital to our Christian life. It's vital because he commanded us to do it. It's vital because it glorifies him in doing it. And it's vital because it strengthens us in some way to meet with Jesus in that way and to remember again and again what Jesus has done for us. So let's pray. Help us to remember you, Lord. Help us to find a place in our minds and hearts for the memory of your love for us. I want the memory of your love, Lord, to be the most powerful of my memories. I want it to be the memory that shapes me. Help me to remember you. Help me to remember all that you have done for me. Amen. So I hope you'll remember that God is an invitation-giving God. And to be invited is to belong, to be of value, and to be wanted.
As Sally was speaking, I was reminded how really possible it is to come to church, not just you can come as a one-off visitor, but also to come quite regularly and never really to have accepted God's invitation. You know, someone said coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. It doesn't work that way. And I just want to give it a moment's opportunity. If you're sitting there, you honestly before God, you say, well, actually, I've never really given my life to Jesus. I've never made a personal commitment to God that has totally or begun to totally change my life. And God is saying this morning, there's an invitation to do it. So let's be quiet for a moment, please. If you close your eyes, we just pray quietly. Just a moment of silence while you... Is that me? Have I given my life to God totally, completely? Have I surrendered to him? Have I accepted his invitation? If you want to just quietly, in your mind, not out loud, just pray the prayer that I'm about to say. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I want to accept your invitation. I want to give my life to you. I want to become a real Christian. I want to follow you. Help me, Lord, as I come to you now. Amen. If in the quietness of your own heart and mind you prayed that prayer, could I either suggest at the end you go speak to the people on prayer ministry, or particularly to Sylvester. Where's Sylvester gone? I can't see him. He's at the back. He won't hear this. Navisa, could you tell him at the end that Sylvester, particularly, or to me, we'd love to talk to you about that prayer and about giving your life to Jesus. It's an amazing experience. Now, before we finish, thank you, Sally. Sally was very, very prompt, wasn't she, there with her timing? We did start early. Today is a special day in the church calendar. Sally didn't mention it because she was asked to speak on that particular subject about God's invitation. So she's not at fault in any way, but we thought we'd mention that. Well, what day is it? Who knows what day it is? Put your hands up and don't shout out, please. Nova Smith. Pentecost. Good. That's easy. We all know what Pentecost is? Yes. Pentecost is when we remember the Holy Spirit coming to the church. It's Jesus said, I've got to clear off from this world. I've got to go so that the Spirit can come. Because Jesus was one person in one place at one time when he was in human form. And he said, I need to go back to heaven and I'll send you the Holy Spirit who will be everywhere present for everybody. So as you said at 9 o'clock, if Simon is flying at this moment in a plane at 33,000 or whatever feet, the Holy Spirit is with him. So Luke's, you're looking puzzled by that, Nova. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is in the plane. Don't worry. So Luke's church this morning, with its different way of doing things to us, the Holy Spirit is there. Here this morning, he's here. But he's out in the streets. He's out in town. He's everywhere present. And we sang a song. And I'm just going to ask Lizzie if we could sing this refrain from the song again before we close. We've got another song to come, but okay, this chorus or this part of this song really challenges me. I want the Spirit of God to fall in this place. I want the Lord to have his way here. So can we sing that? We don't have to stand, just sing where you, and make it a personal thing, not just about this place, but about me. Fan into flame, a passion for your name, that we really care about the name of Jesus. Could you lead us, Lizzie, with that? I'll stand here, but I won't sing because it's not a good sound. I'll sing quietly. A present here this morning, because today is that Jesus gave the church the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we were talking about this at 9 o'clock, and how some people, look, this is not my opinion, this is the opinion of a number of people, is that the church is very guilty, or some churches are very guilty, of sort of opening the box and saying, oh, there's the Holy Spirit, and quickly putting the lid back on. So we're not quite sure what the Holy Spirit might do, or how he might act, or whether you're light of him or not. But this morning, I want to take the lid off. On behalf of this church, on behalf of me, on behalf of you. It's okay. And to allow the Holy Spirit to have freedom, we just sung. And there's a prayer to pray. Sally's used lots of prayers. I want to use one. And if you could agree, say amen at the end. So I'm going to take the lid off. Holy Spirit, be free to do what you want to do in this church and in our individual lives. Not just today on Pentecost, but every day. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a final song. Everyone needs compassion. Let's stand together.